I think it's great. I don't know if y'all been to the CES Spectacular. I know some of you have and some of you haven't. But I just pray that if you haven't, that you would just give it a try to go by and see it. I know we took the kids there. They had a ball. And I know they had a lot of adults. That it's a very good ministry opportunity. let's go ahead and pray for the message tonight.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, I just pray for my heart. Father, you set me at ease, Father. And I realize I'm sharing with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I just pray that you would just guide and direct me, Father, and help them to grow a little bit because of this message, Father. I just pray that you would use me. And Father, I just thank you for sending your Son to die for us. And just praise you now for him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ever since Steve had his message a while back about where he took a minute to wash the feet of the elders, I've been thinking about this passage, and I've been mowing it over for probably about 2 months now, because I usually ask for a little piece so I can think about it. If you would look at Luke chapter 7, verses 36. We're going to look at the washing of the Lord Jesus' feet by this woman that, it's sort of confusing because I think there's three different places where we see the Lord's feet being washed by a lady and alabaster ointment being used. And two of them seem to be similar. The one with Mary in it seems to be different because it talked about her head being washed, the Lord's head being washed more so than his feet. But I think it's interesting that this lady does what she does and ends up being a major message for us today. We'll start by reading that. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would come, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. And so the story is telling, starting off with this lady that somehow knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be there. And it's interesting that she's weeping, and she's coming in the room, and I'm sure that people are sort of looking down at her. And one of the other passages talks about the people were looking at her with indignation, looking down at her, wondering why she's doing what she's doing. But anyway, I'm trying to figure out how did she find out that the Lord Jesus Christ was there, and why did she do exactly what she did. I was thinking that maybe it says when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, so she was aware that he was going to be there. And so I was thinking, I don't know how far in advance all this was planned out. I don't know what was going on, but I'm sure that the word of mouth was going around, hey, Jesus is in town. He's going to Simon's house, and he's going to hang out there, and they're going to eat dinner. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe she heard some of the miraculous things that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. Maybe she had heard that, you know, he saves sinners. He forgives people. And so she goes in, and of course, the tradition is that the host of the house is supposed to be the one that coordinates a foot washing. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they carry it out. That means that they coordinate it. They say, well, you know, such and such, my servant, my guests are coming. I want you to be the one that's going to wash her feet. And so the servants were the one that actually washed the feet. And so it was sort of amazing to the disciples later, you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm going to wash your feet, that here's the master washing their feet. And so when you look at the history about, you know, washing feet, it was supposed to be the servant doing it and not the master. And not only that, but the master, he was responsible for doing this. And it would be the, I guess it would be like if you went to, I know I go to Jerry's house sometimes when they have a get-together, and they'll come over and they'll say, well, can we take your coat and your hat? And they'll take it in the other room and they'll hang it up or you know, set it aside so you don't have to deal with it. So it's one of those common courtesy things, and it's something that a host does to make them feel welcome and they don't have this burdensome jacket and stuff. But when you look at this woman and you see what she's doing, she's crying the whole time while she's washing his feet. She doesn't have any water. It doesn't say anything about that. All the water was coming from her tears, and it was falling on her feet. And she was washing the feet with her tears. And she took her hair and started washing the feet with her hair. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, didn't you have a washcloth around or something? And evidently she wasn't a regular to that household, because she didn't, you know, she didn't have easy access to a rag or whatever. So she took what she had, and it was her hair. But then as we look closer, we're going to see that what do we know about a woman's hair? And we know from Scripture that we talk about when we come here on Sunday morning that the ladies, and as of right now, the ladies are covering their hair because it's their glory. It's important to them. And so I was like, well, you know, how important is ladies' hair to them? So I said, let me go look at some statistics on the internet. And it says that in 2013, we spent about $64.8 billion on the hair industry in the United States. And I would be safe to say that probably more than, I would say $50 billion was probably more the lady folks. So y'all can argue me that point or not, I don't know, but I'm thinking the majority of it was for the lady folks. So there's a lot of money spent on ladies' hair. And this lady, her glory was, she took it and reached down and washed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing she did was she had some ointment, and she put the ointment on the Lord Jesus Christ. It says she anointed them with the ointment. Now, Mary had a pound of ointment. Now, I don't know how much this lady has, because there wasn't no specifics on it. It just said she had some ointment put on his feet. So, but let's say I was looking at Mary's research, and I know y'all have heard probably before that a pound of ointment was about 300 pence, also known as a denarii, and this is almost a year's worth of wages. So the woman was giving up a lot to worship the Lord that day. Now, right now, the average household income in the United States is roughly about $50,000, and y'all probably say, I know, that they couldn't have come and check my house out when they did that. But this was in 2013. They said that around $50,000. So let's say that, Bert's not here, but I know he told us that he played with pool with Michael Jordan one time. He was telling me that story, and I was thinking, well, what could I equate, you know, this ointment to the value? I said, well, what if I took $45,000 and I bought a Michael Jordan jersey and had it hanging in my house, and let's say Steve came over, and I said, well, you know, I want to make Steve feel welcome, so I'm going to wash his feet for him. And so I said, well, I ain't got any towels, so I'm going to take my Michael Jordan shirt that I spent $45,000 on, and I'm going to wipe Steve's feet. And so in that thought, when you think of it like that, you could understand sort of why the people were sort of perplexed that she was putting this ointment on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then later on we'll see that the Lord sets them straight. Okay, this is the King of Kings, and $45,000 or 300 denarii was a drop in the bucket, you know, for what we're talking about, the kingdom of heaven. I mean, he already owned everything. He owned the 300 denarii before it even hit the pan to buy the ointment. So, I mean, everything's his. So, but it just goes to show this lady really had a strong love for the Lord Jesus Christ, that she was willing to put her glory down to wash his feet. She was willing to put up a good portion of money to buy this ointment so that she could take and wash his feet. So I need to make sure I don't skip ahead. Okay. The next section, the plank-eyed Pharisee. I was thinking of this when I was reading it, and it says that in verse 39, it says, "Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself." Now he's speaking inside himself. We do that all the time. You know, that guy pulled out in front of me, you know. You know, inside your person, you're like, Okay, but anyway, he's sitting there going inside himself, is saying, "This man," okay, he says, "This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, if he were," and I say, "just a prophet," if he was just a prophet, "would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Now, this portion here, just when I'm reading the whole section together, it's just sort of, these guys, these Pharisee guys, they got it out for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they want him down so bad. It's just eating them. And when I was thinking, I was like, well, what could I compare that to? And, you know, y'all going to think this crazy, but it reminded me of the Wile E. Coyote trying to catch the Roadrunner. Okay? It didn't matter what crazy question or any device or any setup that the coyote set up, the Roadrunner would get through the trap, get out, and everything, you know, every single time. Couldn't ever catch him. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's every time. You remember they talked about the taxes. Well, you know, we're supposed to pay taxes, you know. And then he said about the coin. Look at the face on the coin. And then we see it another day where they're saying, well, you know, he was healing on the Sabbath, you know. And these are the things that the Pharisees are blurting out at the Lord Jesus, saying, hey, look, let's see what he does now. Let's see what he does now. Well, let's look at Mark 2:16. We're going to read one of those real quick. And it says, "And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So in this section, They're criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sitting with sinners, and all of a sudden he's saying, "Look, I'm not here to call the righteous, which the Pharisees thought they were. I'm here to lead sinners to repentance." And so at the same time, they're sitting in this room with this woman that's washing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone in the room is a sinner. Everybody in there is a sinner. And then there was a whole group of people that didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. It says, in the Bible commentary, in the Bible knowledge commentary, it says the host thought that Jesus could not possibly be a prophet. For if he were, he would have known that the woman was a sinner. And he then would not have let her touch him, for a touch by a sinner brought ceremonial uncleanliness. The sinner was washing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's something that the Pharisees did not know. Jesus saw everyone in the room, and he saw everyone's sin. He saw the Pharisees' sin. He saw this lady's sin. And in his eyes, it wasn't like, well, this guy over here, he got a little bit of sin. And this guy over here, he got a whole lot. He just looked out and he sees sinners. Period. These are sinners. But the Pharisees didn't see it that way. He said, you know, well, it's the same as the one fellow that comes up to the temple and he's praying and he says, you know, I'm glad I'm not like such and such people, and saying he's getting his value, his salvation is from what he's done. And he thinks he's perfect because of it. And because of that, this Pharisee goes and puts this lady down. Now the scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Not just a handful, everybody. So there's nobody that can say they've been left out. And that you know, there's some people that believe and that there are certain people in their faith that are holy, but they're not holy. They are sinners, just like you and me. And they need a Savior. And we're going to go about that in a minute. But I've got some pictures I want to show you. And I want the young people to answer first, because the old people are probably going to know these. The older people are probably going to know these, not the old people. So I want you to tell me if you know, if you do not know who these are. Okay. Does anybody know, where's that thing at? Let me borrow that. The other one. Does anybody know who this fellow is right here? Do you young people know who this is? Raise your hand if you know who this is. Okay. Older people, tell me who that is. Mr. Rogers. Okay. And y'all saying, well, why do you have a picture of Mr. Rogers next to Osama bin Laden? And I assumed everybody knew who Osama bin Laden was. So, okay. All right, now here's the next one. And that, don't say nothing, older people. I said it right that time, older people. Who is this guy right here? Anybody know who this guy is? You people? Y'all know? None of y'all know who this is? As young as I am, I know that this is Captain Kangaroo. Used to play with a rabbit with a carrot. Used to hide the carrot from the bunny rabbit, and Mr. Moose and Mr. Green Jean. Okay, y'all know who this is right here? Jeffrey Dahmer. He's one of the most notorious serial killers there ever was. Okay? Now, you know who this is. He's handsome, ain't he? Y'all know who this fella is right here? Who is that? Please tell. Yeah, I'm getting ready to say, y'all don't know who Billy Graham is. Okay? And then, of course, we know who this is. This is Adolf Hitler. Now, can y'all tell me what all these people have in common? They're all sinners. They're all need a Savior. You know? Some of them are saved. You know, when we were up in the mountains, one of the brothers was speaking to us, and he was telling about was it evangelism explosion, I believe he was talking about? And he was talking about he witnessed to somebody, and he says, you know, the thing that stuck this man up, that kept him from coming to Christ, was this man right here, Jeffrey Dahmer. He said he could not believe that God could forgive Jeffrey Dahmer. And from what I understand, Jeffrey Dahmer professed Christ before he died. That's what I understand. As evil as he is. Now, if you say that Jeffrey Dahmer cannot be saved, then you're putting a limitation on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't do that. We can't do that, because then that made, if you're going to say that, then maybe the blood ran out before I got saved. No, that ain't the case. The blood is still cleaning. It's still cleaning today. And it's even cleaning for Jeffrey Dahmer folk and Adolf Hitler folk, that they just bend the knee of the heart and accept him as Savior. But I would suspect that probably didn't happen for Adolf Hitler. But anyway, I'm glad that some people knew K. Tapping Kangaroo. I was wondering about that one. Okay. No, you're older. Okay. So y'all made 100 on that quiz. Okay. For the wages of sin is death. So now we're gonna talk about There is a cost to our sin. There is a wage to be paid. Verse 40 through 43, it says, "And Jesus answering said unto Simon," oh, wait a minute, I forgot something. The one thing that in here, when he said, he spake within himself about the Lord being a prophet, well, the Lord's getting ready to teach him that he's much more than a prophet. Okay? He's a whole lot more than a prophet. Because he knows what he was thinking. And he says, not only do I know that you're thinking, but I'm going to set you straight. And I'm going to start by teaching. And it says here, "And Jesus answered, saying unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on." And he says, "Master." That's interesting. "Say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed him 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged." Okay, so we got this. Let's get my picture. All right. So we got this picture. And this here man, he's the dude that runs the bank. Okay? Y'all can see. There you go. This dude runs the bank right here. And then this man, he's down here kneeling at his feet. And then this dude, he's just sort of walking away. Now, could y'all tell me who owed the most? Who got paid? Whose debt got paid that was the most? Which of these two fellas? The one kneeling. Because he was really grateful. He was thankful. And he was showing a lot of love because of the forgiveness that had been bestowed upon him. Whereas this dude just sort of walked away. Now, I don't know if he said thank you at all or anything, but he just walked on off. It says of the... It says, "The Lord asked Simon if he could tell him something." Now, when we were up in the mountains, one of the things that really stood out to me was the way of the Master. That evangelism technique that seemed to... The interesting thing is, the Lord says, "I have somewhat to say unto thee." So he asked him, "Can I talk to you?" You know, he asked him that way. And then later on, he lets him make the decision about what the outcome of the teaching was. And so that's what happened. And so when you do the way of the Master, you ask specific questions that are in regard to the commandments, like, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever killed any? Have you ever hated someone? Have you hated your brother? Have you ever looked at a woman on bus? And then you get that person with their own answer to convict themselves, because they're answering the questions that they're saying, yeah, I'm a liar, I'm a murderer, I'm an adulterer. And they're answering these questions for themselves, and they're convicting themselves by their own answers. And so the Lord here, he's actually, when he's telling this story about the debtor and the man that forgave him, he lets Simon direct, you know, whether he wanted to hear it or not. And then he also said, well, what's the answer to this story that I just told you? And so he made him find out the answer for himself. And then if you can get that person to convict, because that's what it took to get me to get saved. I had to be convicted first that I needed a Savior. And if you can get somebody convicted, then I'm like hunting down a Savior. I'm like, what do I need to do to get rid of this? And that's what happened the night that I got saved. I was like, what do I do with this? what do I do with that? And that's when I went and met Jerry. And I talked to him. And he was explaining to me about the gospel. But I had to be convicted of my sins first. And the ways of the master was an excellent way to present the gospel to somebody where it's going to be coming straight from them. Okay. Now, we got to say, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set Simon straight. Earlier we said the Lord Jesus sets them all straight. Okay. About the Pharisees, and he says, so we're going to look at Luke chapter 7, verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to stop kissing my feet. And my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the sameth loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Now, you know in my picture back here, this fella that walked away right here, he was forgiven a little bit. But he was forgiven. Okay? I mean, I don't know. He may have extended a thank you before he left. That might have been the extent of it. I don't know. But let's see what Simon does. Simon, he didn't give him any water for his feet. He didn't give him a kiss. You know that the holy kiss that they would give each other? He didn't do that, greeting the Lord Jesus. And he didn't anoint the Lord with oil. And the problem is, he was the host. He was the host. He was the one that should have done these things. Or at least coordinated. But no, this lady came in. He was too busy. He should have been providing care to our Lord as a guest. The Pharisees showed no love to Jesus. No love to Jesus. So when I think of that, then I can come to the conclusion that the Pharisees probably wasn't forgiven. Because he showed no love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, it would be easy to come to that conclusion, you know, to say that. But it's one thing here that William MacDonald said. He says, she had not been forgiven because of her love to Christ, but her love was a result of her forgiveness. And she loved much because she had been forgiven much. And Jesus took this occasion to announce publicly the forgiveness of her sins. We are all sinners. We all owe something. We have a debt, just like these gentlemen right here have. And I think each one knows in our heart whether we've been forgiven or not. And then, in return, I'm thinking, we should be showing love to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it ain't like I'm cleaning his feet. I got brothers that they work on the plumbing for the chapel. That's showing love to the Lord. There's somebody building a playground out back. That's showing love to the Lord. Somebody that gets in the pulpit and they're preaching. They're showing love to the Lord. Lady folks that are preparing meals, they're showing love to the Lord. We come into worship and we stand up and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We're giving love to the Lord. We need to be showing love to the Lord because he surely forgiven, and that's a great debt. I mean, it doesn't say, it says, I'm trying to find it, let's see. Where did I do my verse? I had it here. When you read the scripture, it talks about the wages of sin is death. So just one sin equals death. Now, I had a whole lot more than one sin. Okay, I've been this dude down here kneeling, telling the Lord thank you. And that's what we need to do. And it ain't necessarily physically getting down on your hands and knees. I mean, you might want to pray like that and thank the Lord, but it could be serving Him. And that, I mean, that ain't just for the older people. That's for the younger people. This ain't just something we do just because we do it. It's something we do because we want to do it for the Lord. That's what you got to remember. Don't do it because such and such told me to do it. Do it because the Lord has laid it on your heart and you love Him and you want to do it. Okay. Now, with that being said, it says we are all sinners. We all owe something, but we don't have to pay for our sins. The Lord Jesus paid the price for our sins. The gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Colossians 2:8, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly and triumphing over them in it. Once again, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ done, we need to show Him love. Thank you.